We're going to focus on the middle of the fourth reading, specifically Yaakov's response to Esav, who was the world's first official anti-Semite. Yes, I know he was Jewish. There are Jewish anti-Semites. As we learned yesterday, Esav sona le'Yaakov. The rule of anti-Semitism is actually derived from Esau, from Esav. And Amalek, who is the greatest anti-Semite of all, is a direct descendant of Esav. So Esav is very, very congenial and very friendly. And he says to Yaakov, I have plenty of wealth, much more than I need. Why don't you keep your gifts? Keep your gifts. Take the money. I don't need it. And Yaakov, in this conciliatory fashion, says, No. Please, I found favor in your eyes. If it'd be good enough, you hold on to the money. You keep the gifts. I don't want anything. I'm not asking you for anything in response. And he alludes to the fact that he had wrestled with an angel, so maybe to strike a little fear into Esav's heart. And he says, I just want to be appeasing. Just want to appease you, that's all. This is my gift to you. God has been kind to me. I have all that I need. And in turn, you should please accept that which I'm offering. So Esav then makes the next offer. After being magnanimous, prepared to give back the gifts, Esav says, so no problem. Let's travel together. I'll walk alongside. I'll proceed at your slow pace. I usually go quicker. I got adults here. I got an army. We move. I'll go at your pace. But Yaakov knows that Esav's avowals of fraternal love are just fleeting. It's not sincere. And if it is sincere, it's not permanently sincere, as we learned about yesterday in great detail. And he understood it's not going to be advisable to travel with an anti-Semite. Prolonging this meeting will only boomerang. So he says to Yaakov, look, Yaakov says to Esav, you know that I have the children are frail. I'm responsible for these nursing lambs and goats, cattle. If they're driven hard, in one day, all the flocks will die. Why don't you go? You go, he says. I'll catch up to you. I'll move at my own pace. Eventually, I'll get there. And that's the verse we're going to focus on today. Perek Lamed Gimel, verse 14. Chapter 33, verse 14. Pasuk Yudalad. Ya'avarna Adoini Lifnei Avdei. Let my master, please, go ahead of his servant. Go ahead of his servant. Of course, the master here in Yaakov's expression is Esav. He considers or speaks of himself as a servant. He says, let my master go before a servant. Va'ani, and I. Esna lo'li'iti. I am going to proceed at my own slow pace. My own slow pace. And this will be the pace. I pace myself l'regel ha'malacha, at the pace of the herds, of the work that I have before me, ashalafanai, leregel hayiladim, and according to the pace of the small children, ad asher avoy aladoni seira, until I make it to my master at Soir. So what does it mean, leregel hayiladim? The children walk that slowly. So the Targum Yonasan ben Azil says, the kids are in school, I'm homeschooling them. You know, first few hours of the day, we stay put, we learn. But Rashi doesn't accept that, as we'll see. And probably that's because L'regel ha'malacha and L'regel ha'yaladim go hand in hand. He's talking about the pace of cattle and goats and sheep and the pace of children. They got small legs, they walk slowly. I can't push them. They can't run, they don't have stamina. And he says, so I'm going to travel at my own slow pace. Ad asher avoy el adoni seira, until I reach my master at Seir. I'll reach you. I'm coming to visit. Is Yaakov really coming to visit? He never leaves Israel again. Till he goes to Egypt. He never goes to Seir. Goes to Egypt, not to Seir. So he never actually goes. So why does Yaakov say this? So we'll soon see in Rashi. Rashi says, Yaakov colored the truth. He didn't tell him things as they were. Why? Because he was afraid for his life. That's why. Yes, you're allowed to color the truth when your life is in danger. If a hostage taker comes along and says, "Who else is in this house?" and you say, "Nobody," that's not a sin of lying. You did the right thing. Yaakov knows his life's in danger. The children's lives are in danger. Everything he owns is in danger. He tells Esav, "You go. I'll be there." Ramban says, what he really said is, "I'm going to father's home. And if it will so happen that I pass Seir on the way, I'll drop in for a visit too." The thing is, it's not what the Torah says. It's not what Yaakov says. The verse says, "Ad asher avoy el adoni Seira," until I come to my master at Seir. So let's take a look in Rashi and see how Rashi elucidates this entire verse. And then we'll see in what the Rambam says, and we'll discover an incredible response to anti-Semitism. Incredible response. The Rebbe's take on how you respond specifically to an anti-Semite when you have that confrontation. Yavar no adoini. Yavar no adoini means, let my master please go at his usual pace. You continue. Says Rashi, al no sarich yemei halichosecha. Do not delay, do not lengthen the days of your travel so that you might be able to accompany me. Rather, avor, continue, move on. Follow kefi darkecha. You go at your pace. But you're going to say, if I go at my pace and you go at your pace, we're not going to be together. That's true. But don't worry about it. Because I got work to do. Rashi says, Esna hala can be understood kimoy esna hel. I have to lead. I have a responsibility. The hey yaseira, the hey at the end of the word, esna hala, is like the word erda, the word we learned earlier when God said, I will go down to see Sodom. The word is ered, but it said erda. Or eshma, the word is eshma. What's eshma'a? So that when you have a hey at the end, that's the prose of the Hebrew language, that's the syntax. It's like esnahel. Esnahalo just makes it more poetic. It's like the etiquette of the grammar. Now, what does the word le'iti mean? Esnahalo. I will lead le'iti. Le'iti means my slow. What does this mean? What is the origin of the word? So Rashi says that le'iti is actually like two words in conjunction. La'at shali. La'at shali, la'at means slow, shali means mine. My slowness, my slow pace. La'at shali. And it's lashon nachas. So most people know the word nachas is when you have delight, like when your children behave nicely, when your grandchildren say, I have nachas. But nachas really means easy and easy over. Just like tsar, which means people think tsaras, comes from the word tsar, meaning pain, but no, tsar has an ayin in it. So what does tsaras mean? It comes from the word tsar, which means narrow. A narrow shoe will squeeze your foot, meaning in narrow straits will squeeze your shoulders. A narrow situation, which is where you feel pressure. You have things that are bearing down upon you, which make you uncomfortable. So from a situation of tsar or tsaras, where things are pressing on you, you'll be in a situation of nachas, easy. Nachas means everything's easy, everything's nice, everything's in its place. So Yaakov says, nachas shali, I'm going my pace, at my comfort. Kimoi, for example, we have a pasuk in Yeshayahu in the 8th verse, where he says, ha-helchim la'at. Or there's a pasuk in Shmuel, which says, la'at li ulenar. I'm going to go at my pace, the pace of the child. Rashi says something very interesting about the word le'iti. Grammatically speaking, halamed min hayesod. Sometimes the lamed comes to modify a word. You have a word, a noun, and the noun is modified with a lamed in the front. Here Rashi says the word le'iti is a conjunctive word, and therefore the lamed is actually part of the word itself. Ve'eino mishamesh. It's not a service word. It's not a service letter that serves a noun, but rather esnahel nachas shali. Nachas shali is conflated into a single word, and that word is le'iti. So the word shali has a lamed, la'at is slow. So le'iti together becomes my slow pace. L'regel ha-melacha, literally me, literally means according to the feet or the footsteps of the work. L'fi tzorech halichas ragli ha-melacha, in accordance with the needs of the work. So it's not actually, he's not talking about the legs of the sheep or the cow necessarily per se. It's euphemistic. L'regel means along with, at the pace of. We would say feet or legs, but it's not a literal sense. It's a l'regel, it's because of, in like on the, people say on the hands of or on the heels of. On the heels of a melacha ha-motelas olai, the work which is upon me. I have responsibilities, says Yaakov. And my responsibility dictates that I take this journey slowly. And what's my responsibility? L'hoylech, to take, to lead. I'm a shepherd. I have to lead the flocks. I have sheep, I have goats, I have cattle. I have these animals to lead. U'l'regel ha-yiladim. So Rashi says, this is actually a little more literal. It does refer to children, and it does refer to the little legs, the little feet, the little toes. Because really, if you think about it, how did Yaakov put the responsibility towards goats and sheep in the same frame as the responsibility as towards his children? I mean, I know there's some people in Thornhill who love their dog more than their children, but that's crazy. And then another interesting thing is he mentions the goats first and the children second. How does that work? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he heard the people of Gad and Reuven speaking about their animals first and the children second, he gave them a serious rebuke. So therefore, Rashi explains that L'regel ha-melacha means I have an enormous amount of responsibility. Responsibility calls. And because my responsibility calls and it dictates the pace, I have to take this slowly. On number two, Rashi says, he says, I can't even physically walk that fast because literally the children can't walk so fast. They have little toes. They don't have the stamina. They're not going to be able to do this. So l'fitzoyrech halichas ragli ha-melacha means according to the pace of the work, according to the needs, the responsibilities that the work places on me. L'regel ha-yelodim means l'fi ragleihem, according to the feet, the small feet. Shehem yecholim leilach, how much could a child walk? A child walk, he's got little feet, he can't take big steps. So an adult is walking 10 steps, it's the child that's 15 or 18 steps. And then the child doesn't have that stamina. He gets tired more quickly. So Rashi is basically, saying to him, Yaakov saying, look, I got too much work to do, and I couldn't walk that fast if I wanted to. Family man, can't leave the kids behind. It's not going to work for us. You go. It's fine. Don't worry about me. You can proceed at your pace, and I'll be there. Ad asher avoy el adoni seira, until I come to Seir. I'm coming to Seir. So Rashi says something very interesting. Hirchiv lo yaderech. He spoke in very broad strokes. He said, where are you going? Somewhere off in the wild blue yonder. He had no intention of going that distance. But he said, far away. I have a long journey. All the way to Seir. I'll make it there eventually. But it wasn't true. He had no intention of going that far. He was only planning to go to Sukkos. How do we know that? Because that's where he went. He only went to a place called Sukkos. And by the way, he spent a year and a half there. So he knew exactly where he wanted to go. He didn't even go to Yitzchak's home. He didn't even see his mother Rivka again, which is a problem in and of itself, but not the focus of this morning's class. So Yaakov knew where he was going. He had his GPS set. He knew exactly where the destination was. Whereas it used to be in prehistoric times, he had a triptych, right? He had a CEA, he knew exactly, he knew the highways he was taking and exactly how he was getting there. He knew where he's going. So why did he say, Al ad asher avoy el adoni seira? So Rashi comments and he says, V'omar, but he said, even though he knew he wasn't going there, he said, ad asher avoy, till I come. El adoni seira, to my master at Seir. So Rashi explains, why did Yaakov say that? Why did he say that? He says, Omar, Yaakov said to himself, if he has baleful intent, which by the way he did in the end. Because as time went on, guess what happened? Esav's hatred slowly returned, and he began to nurse a grudge again. And his long-standing animosity towards Yaakov resurfaced, and he began to plot how to attack him. But the 400 warriors who accompanied him remembered vividly how they were assaulted by the angels, and they saw this meeting of Yaakov and Esav, and they said, "You know what? I'm not interested. This plan is futile. We're not coming along." Even though they would have liked to attack Yaakov, they weren't such nice guys. They were afraid that if they tried to dissuade Esav, or they attempted to abandon him, so who knows what he would do. So they stealthily peeled off, one at a time, one at a time. And in the end, Esav was left with nobody. By the way, Rashi says that there was a payback to 400 people of Esav's people. His descendants were paid back, were saved later because of these 400 of Esav's people who didn't go with him. They basically foiled the plot. So Yaakov is right on the money. He knew exactly what Esav was going to start thinking. He knew this was temporary. He didn't even know if it was sincere, as we learned yesterday. So Yaakov says to himself, if he's planning to attack in the end, so why would I be there? I'd be crazy. The anti-Semite says, come ride with me. What? Am I insane? Come ride with the anti-Semite, so when he decides to be an anti-Semite again, he can shoot me? I'm not coming with him. Yamtin, let him wait. The anti-Semite says, come with me. You wait for me. I'll be coming soon. The last thing he wants to do is be there. But Vahuloi Halach, he never went. He stayed right in Sukkos. He stayed in Israel. Never left, till he left to Egypt, never left Israel again. But Yaakov is a tzaddik. Everything he says, he has to do. Why? He said he was going there. He said, I'm going to come to Seir. Rashi says, Ve'ema Seyelech, when will he go? And Rashi says something unbelievable. This is a 3,700-year journey. It didn't end yet. We're still on Yaakov's journey. We're still on Yaakov's journey. He was still getting there. And it's going to end the Mei HaMashiach very speedily, in the days of the Mashiach. Shanemar is the prophet Avadya. The Avadya, who was a descendant of Esav, a convert from Edom. Avadya says about the future, the Olu Mashiim Bahar Zion, the saviors will come up in Mount Zion, Lishpait, to judge, as Har Esav, the Mount of Esav. In other words, Melech HaMashiach and all of his entourage will come to the mountain of Esav. So Yaakov said, I'll come to your mountain. He is going to come to the mountain. Only it's not Yaakov, it's Yaakov's descendant. It's the Mashiach. So in other words, what Yaakov told the anti-Semite was, I'll deal with you someday. Someday, I won't have to be afraid. Someday, I'll come to you. In the meantime, you can wait. Okay. This is the literal interpretation of Rashi. This was Yaakov's response to the world's first official anti-Semite. I know he was Jewish. You know. Now, okay, maybe we're going to have now like a machlekes. Who is the first official anti-Semite? Who gets the anti-Semite award of the year? I want you to open the Biurim book to page Kuf Lamed Beis, and we're going to see a fascinating halacha here from the Rambam. We read about Yaakov's response to the anti-Semite through Rashi's literal view, and now we're going to take a look and see how the Rambam speaks to us in halachic terms rather than elucidative terms. He elucidates not the verse here, but he speaks to us in halachic terms of how we should behave when we encounter the Esav, the anti-Semite. Rashi says, Im sha'olai, if that anti-Semite asks you, this is a Rambam. Rambam, in the laws of Reitzeach, the laws of murder and Shmiras Nefesh, of personal safety. He says, Im sha'olai, if this anti-Semite says to you, La'ana tahilich, where are you going? So the halacha is, Yarchev le'es aderech. Tell him a story. Oh, I'm going. Where are you going, Rabbi? Saskatchewan. I'm heading. I'm going. Kederech sheherchev Yarchev le'esav. In the way Yaakov said to Esav. Shanemar, as it's written, Ada sh'ove eladei nisira. In other words, the Rambam says that Yaakov's response forms the paradigm for posterity. This is how we respond. When an anti-Semite asks you where you're going, never tell him the truth. Give him a story.
Megate.
We're going. All right, the halacha is a halacha. I'm not going to analyze the halacha this morning. But the Rebbe, on one occasion, analyzed this whole, the Rashi, the commentaries, and part of his analysis on that particular talk, that teaching, was viewing this halacha through the prism of mystical Jewish teaching. Yesh levayir al pi pnimis hanyanim. We should explain this within the realm of the esoteric, the mystical teachers of Judaism. Shahalacha zu, that this law, which is a law, it's a logical law. I mean, there are a lot of laws of Torah which are logical. It's logical that if the anti-Semite says, where you plan to go, don't tell him. What, are you going to explain to your terrorists where you're going to be? Only, sadly, the Israeli army does that, to tell the terrorists, we're going to be bombing in 45 minutes. Here's where our soldiers will be so you can shoot us. And then the world accuses us of doing all kinds of nefarious things. It's insane. No normal military is going to tell you where they're going to be. And if you know somebody is out to hurt you, he's an anti-Semite, and he's open about it. And then he asks, oh, by the way, where are you going? You're going to tell him. You have to be meshuga. You have to be off the walls. You tell him whatever you tell him. You wait, I'll be there. But we learn the halacha from Yankov. It's a logical halacha. It's a logical halacha that you have to protect yourself. You have to take natural measures. Safety, precaution comes first. The truth is very nice. Not when it comes at the when you're paying the cost of your life or your safety. Not when you're exposing your personal security. So why do we have to learn it from Yaakov? So the Rebbe says, Yudua, it's well known, Shedivre Yaakov, that the words of Jacob, Ada Shar Ovil Adonai Seira, as we just saw in Rashi, which is sourced from the sages, Roimzim L'Geula HaAmitis Vashlema. It actually is, it alludes to the ultimate redemption through Mashiach. Shabba Ochein, that then when Mashiach comes, then indeed, Yelech Yankiv L'Sor, Jacob will get to Harseir. He will get to Esav's country. Not now. Not now. At a settled much later time, he says. When I come Lishbait this Har Esav, I will come to judge. I will come to deal with all the ugliness, but not now. And the Rebbe maintained that this is a lesson for us when you encounter an anti-Semite. This is remarkable. V'zeo masher kos tzorich. This is what every Yid has to learn from Yankov. Jacob is our common father. We have to learn from him. Kasher goy bo lahara. When an anti-Semite shows up and he has baleful intent, he wants to harm you. These days, they're pretty open about it. Everybody else doesn't want to listen. But the anti-Semites themselves are saying exactly what they want. He comes lahazik, he comes to cause damage. So what should we tell him? What should our attitude be? The Rebbe maintained that from a mystical perspective, from the inner track of Judaism, all of Loimar, that we should say to this anti-Semite, Shu bedarkei el geula ashlema, we're heading towards Mashiach, I have no time for you. I cannot deal with your craziness. We have a different vision. We have a vision of the world being perfected and made whole. We have a vision of all of humankind serving God in a common accord. We have a vision of goodness, a vision of light. That's our response to the anti-Semite. And the Rebbe maintained, when you have the right attitude, v'kach yimona hagoy milahazik, this can help us stop the anti-Semites from attacking. Attitude is everything. We have to offer a redeemed perspective on life. And when we offer a redeemed perspective on life, that somehow inhibits the harshness of the anti-Semites' desires. Zeis Mishum, why is this? This is because Sha'agoy Yochel Lishloit B'Yehudi Rakish Yehudi Misyachas El HaGolos. You make yourself vulnerable when you agree to be under his thumb. When you acknowledge his supremacy, his white supremacy, his Islamist supremacy, whatever supremacy he has, whatever fascism he has, because these guys are all fascists. They think that it's uns uber alles, we are over everybody else, and you're an undesirable. When you acknowledge his perceived fascism, his perceived supremacy, then you put yourself in danger. And what happens is, you make yourself, yeah, this is my place, I'm under your thumb, I need your protection. I require and need your kindness and your largesse. And that's the nature of exile. That exile It debilitates. It disables. And that allows, when we have that attitude, we have a gullus attitude, an attitude of weakness, an attitude of inability, a lack of Jewish pride. When there's a lack of Jewish pride, we run and hide. When we're afraid of our shadow, then this actually brings the attack. Ulam, im ha'yehudim idiligoy, if the Jew stands up and tells the anti-Semite, in no uncertain terms, I want you to know that this whole exilic reality in our eyes is but temporary. And we have a redeemed perspective of reality. We see the world coming to its perfection. We see and believe in the coming of Mashiach. And we believe that there will be a day the world will be filled with unity and filled with love and filled with God consciousness. And everybody will function differently. And guess what? We're on the way. L'maisa hu nimtza b'derech al ha-geula. That's where we're headed. That's our vision of life. Yovin gamagoy, and this anti-Semite will understand she Yehudi zebe pnim yusi eni nimtza b'golos. He'll understand that this is not a person who is subservient. This is not a person who's going to duck. This is not a person who's going to run and hide. This is a person who's not going to be trifled with or tossed or pushed aside. V'chach ye'ovei deshlitosei. That confidence, that broadcast of Jewish pride enables you to undermine the confidence of the anti-Semite who seeks the Lord over you. V'aniach lo'i. And in the end, he'll shrink back into his dark, ugly corner. La'avar es ha'golos b'shalva menucha. So we can get through this golos in relative peace and serenity. Ad l'geula ha'mitas v'ashlema. I want to make something very clear. The Rebbe is never for a second suggesting that we shouldn't take our security seriously. Remember, this entire rumination is based on a halacha that says, when they ask you, what are you guys doing about security? What should you say? I can't really talk about that. We have amazing things about security. You'll never know what kind of surprise we have waiting for you. Tell them a story. You have to tell, where are you going? Oh, you don't even know where I'm going. I'm going. Safety and security is not compromised. We're not talking about chas v'shalom exposing ourselves to danger. It's given. This is a halacha that's based on exactly that. There needs to be a strategy in place. However, the question is, does this anti-Semitism define us? Do we become the product of anti-Semitism? Are we the people who are fighting anti-Semitism? And if that defines us, then we have caved in and we have lost. We have to be defined with a whole different world vision. Our message to the world has to be one of redemption. Our message to the world is Mashiach is coming. Our message to the world is that we will, Emir Tzashem, very soon, see a transformed reality. The whole world's going to change very soon. When the anti-Semite hears that buoyancy, that confidence, that certitude, that positivity, this in and of itself causes him to shrink back into his dark corner.
Does that also work when you talk to another Jew?
Now we're talking about talking to anti-Semites. You want to talk to other Yidden? That's a whole different story. You gotta. Anyway, I thought this was a remarkable lesson with everything going on. Here we have Yaakov Avinu, the Parsha, the way the Rebbe is talking to us, telling us what we need to know at this moment. We're in danger, because when you're under this attack, you're in danger of starting to cave into the darkness. Don't give in, guys. Don't give. Don't forget who we really are. And remember, it's our message of optimism and our message of faith that will continue to move us forward.